Okay, here we go. Aval Nuisin. The halacha is that one is permitted to go ahead and put a, this is a quote from the Mishnah, back on Mem Aleph Amar Aleph, one is permitted to put a lot of cold water into this cup, in order to make it warm. So putting a large amount in. Good morning, doctor. So Tan Rabbanan, Noisin Adam Cham and Lutech Tzoyne, Hatzoyne, one is allowed to put hot water into cold water. And not cold water into hot water. Now there's a machlekas Rashi Tesis. What the pshat over here is, for now we'll run with Rashi, that the yesod is, because we always say that the bottom one wins. Therefore, a person is allowed to put hot into cold, because the cold will overrule the hot, and it will not cook. However, you cannot put cold into hot, because the hot will overrule the cold, and it will cook the cold. It will cook the hot water. So Beis Shammai Paskins Tato Gover, according to Rashi. It's a sugya Maseches Chulin, which incidentally we would not paskin like this sugya, which is one of Tosis's questions that this doesn't conform with what we know from Chulin. But Rashi goes with that sugya. So Bamei Devar Mamurim says, Beis Hillel Amrim Bein Chamin Lotech Tzinin Bein Tzinin Lotech Chamin. It's Mutar. Beis Hillel disagrees. He says no matter which way you're running, whether you're running hot into cold or cold into hot, it's Mutar in both ways. However, Beis Hillel adds a caveat. Bamei Devar Mamurim. When was that stated? Because if you're using a kais. Now, machlekas exactly if what the yisoid of kais is, again, running with Rashi throughout the sugya, Rashi says that the vart is that it's because it was done for drinking. And therefore, people, when doing it for drinking, you don't want it so hot. You do it, it's understood that if you're doing it for drinking, it's not going to be as hot. Aval, ba'ambati, but if it's being done for washing in a bath where people do like the temperature hotter, there says Beis Hillel, I agree. The chamel teichat soinen v'lo yitzoinu lo teichat chamel. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, oyser. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh says that's also usher. Even chamel teichat soinen is usher. And comments Omer of Nachman halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. And the halacha follows this last opinion. Sover of Yosef lemeimar. Rabbi Yosef thought to say that sapol, a bucket, is harehu ka'ambati. Even though it's a klisheni, since it's not made for shesia, based on the logic we said so far, if you have water that is made for rechitza, then it's going to be aser. Why? Because you like it to be hotter. So therefore, based on the logic we said until now, that is a difference between what you want to drink and what you want to eat, and what you want to bathe with. So a sapa, which is a bucket, which you will, it's not a big bathtub, but it's a bucket, it should still be usher. Sorry, it's not like a bucket. Says the Gemara, and questions the Gemara, and according to what you wanted to say, that sapal is like an ambati. And the Umar of Nachman, the halacha follows the Bishim of Manasseh. So, Ela b'Shabbos, rechitza b'chamen, lekam. How is it possible to wash yourself on Shabbos? Now, we know that you can't take a shower on Shabbos, like we saw in the previous sugya, but we saw, allowed to wash your hands, face, and feet in hot water. Now, if you're telling me that you cannot use a bathtub or a bucket, how is it possible, questions the Gemara, to give me a heter, to take, or halfway, or more, drop more than halfway down my Bezim and Aleph, how is it possible to take to use hot water on Shabbos and bathe your face? Not bathe your whole body, but bathe your face. And the understanding is that if you have a bucket of undiluted hot water, it's going to be too hot. Says the Gemara, Misavet Rabbi Shimon HaSeifakoi. Did you think Rabbi Shimon is going on the Seifa, where he comments on Beis Hillel saying that there's a difference between, in a bathtub, there's a difference between hot into cold and cold into hot? No, he was going on the Reisha. He was going on drinking glasses. A Reishakoi. And he was commenting on the fact that Beis Hillel gave a carte blanche for everything. Beis Hillel matirin bein chamel teichtzin bein tzinu teichamen for drinking. There, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh oyser tzinu teichamen. He says it's only chamel teichtzin in his mutter. Says the Gemara, but that's Beis Shammai's opinion. Leimi Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh d'amar ke Beis Shammai, and the Gemara says you're right. Hachi gamar lo nechluk Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. There was there. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh came along and said no, there's no machlekas about that. So Amar Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yehoshua. Chazina le Rava, the loy kapid amana. I saw that Rava was not makpid on kalim, on putting hot into cold, and cold into hot. From the fact that it said a person puts a kitan shalmayim, can place a jug of water in a bucket of water, it's mash bein chamin l'teich tzeinin, bein tzeinin l'teich chamin. It doesn't matter which way it goes. So we see that so long as that's in a keli, he's not makbid which way it went. At first, the Gemara understood that it's talking about where he took a jug of water and he dipped the jug into the bucket to warm up the jug. So there, maybe it's different, says the Gemara. Maybe the klisheni bucket can't warm up the water inside another keli, because mifsak keli, maybe there's a hefsik in the keli itself. The keli itself creates a hefsik. A comparable nowadays to warming up a baby bottle. You take a baby bottle, you dip it into a washing cup of hot water. You ever want to heat up a baby bottle? Some people do that on Shabbos. You take a baby bottle, you fill it up with cold water, cold milk or whatever, and you want to warm it up. So you take a washing cup, you fill it up from the urn, and then you dip it in. So the Gemara thought maybe that's different than pouring water in. And the Gemara says, no, Amalei Ma'ara Itmar. Ma'ara Adam Kitan Shemayim L'Teich Sefel Shemayim Bein Chamin L'Teich Tzein Bein Tzein L'Teich Chamin. It was stated even with regards to pouring it in. It is, Rava held that it was permitted to pour cold water into hot water or hot water into cold water. And this, by the way, is the heter for klisheni. The Gemara is saying that if you have a klisheni, it is technically mutter. And L'maisa Klal Yisrael with making teas and coffees is mutter, is machmer. We'll see, because making teas and coffees is really the next Mishnah. But at this point, we see that pouring cold water into hot water in a kli sheni lemaisa is mutter, and this is the sugya. Okay, let's see the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah discusses kli sheni as well, but it discusses putting spices into a kli sheni. Ha'ilfas. Ha'ilfas is the actual frying pan, so it's a kli rishon. V'ha'kedera. And the kedera, which is a pot, also used as the actual first pot that is on the stove. So it's the pot of soup or the pot of cholent that's on the stove. Sheha eviran, that you took it off the stove, but it still has a din of a kli sheni. Mirutachin, and it's still hot. Lo yitin l'toichon tavlin. One is not allowed to put spices into that kli rishon. Aval, says the Gemara, noisinu l'toicha ka'aro l'toicha tamchoy. One is permitted to place it into a bowl. This is a cliche, it's something that you receive. Techa tamchoy is like a big cholent bowl that you bring to the table, but it's not the bowl that was on the fire. You scoop it out of the crock pot into a tamchoy, and from a tamchoy into a ka'ara. So whether the ka'ara is a klisheni or a tamchoy, even if it's a big klisheni, the halacha is you're allowed to put spices into there, because klishenis do not cook. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lekalu Noisin. You're allowed to put it into everything, chutz mitavar sheyesh b'chemetz v'tzir, except for something that has vinegar or fish juice, because those are potent stuff, and they will be able to cause it to cook. Even it will cause a weakening of the spice, so we'll be able to make it to cook even in a klisheni. This be I'll, off the bat, I will just tell you that there is a let's just see the sugya, even though we don't see anything from the sugya about what I'm about to say, but we'll see the sugya first. It's a short sugya. Ibai luhu, Rabbi Yehuda areishikayu lekula idilma aseifakayu lechumra. Rabbi Yehuda's comment that if it has chometz and tzir, it's different. Was he commenting on the reisha? And was he saying that the reisha, which you said that every kli rishon is usser, it's not true. It's only usser if you have a vinegar mix or something like that, where it can weaken the item. Otherwise, in order to cook something, you need it to be on the fire itself. So was he coming and arguing on the reisha, and he's coming to give a kula? Or perhaps he was going on the seifa ulechumra, and he was saying a chumra. He was saying, you're matar at klishenis? No, klishenis are mutter, I'm asking, but not if they have chumitz and seer. So Tarshima, the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Emer, l'chol ilfasin hu noisin, l'chol akideres reischeis hu noisin. He's clearly talking about klirishins. To every frying pan or chalent pot that's on the fire, and it was taken out of the fire, you're allowed to put spices in, except if chutz mitavash yesh b'chemetz v'tzir, except if it has a potent mix. in which case it will first weaken the item. Let's say you put pepper in there, so the chomitz will work on the pepper to weaken it, and then it will be able to cook even a kli rishon. But if you have a regular kli, if you have a regular dish cooking, a regular chalim pot, even a kli rishon cannot cook according to Rabbi Yehuda. The machlek is about salt. That salt is like spices. The bekli rishon bishla, bekli sheni loy bishla. It gets cooked in a kli rishon, but not in a kli sheni. Amar Abaya, Tani Rebbe Chiya, melach ein ketavlin. Salt is not like spices. The bekli sheni nami bishla. In a kli sheni, it can also cook. The pliga der Rav Nachman. This argues with Rav Nachman. The Amar Rav Nachman, tzricha milcha bishula kibis with the tura. That salt needs cooking like ox meat, meaning it only cooks on the fire. Even a kli rishon will not cook it. So we now have two opinions of what salt is. Either it's super cookable or it's super not cookable. And it's brought down that halacha, the base halacha is that it's super not cookable, but it's a nice thing to be machmer. And sorry, melech is not like spices. The bekli rishon nami loy bishla. That in a kli rishon it also doesn't cook. As Rav Nachman stated, that salt requires cooking like ox meat. So, finishing our sugya, it is 100% permitted to go ahead and put something in a kli sheni. There are two reasons why you might not want to do that. Number one, there is a interesting shita that says that a dover gush does not lose its status of a kli rishon. Davar gush is an item that does not hug the plate. So soup goes and hugs the plate wherever it is. But, or a very soupy chalent. But something like a potato or something like that, which is a block or a very thick chalent, so then, which doesn't spread out, then it is considered a davar gush. And there is a shita, an opinion that says that it's always a kli sheni. So therefore, that's a reason why you may not want to automatically rely on kli sheni. But with the second reason, mitigates the reason, the using of a kli sheni, and that is that there are certain things that Chazal say are very easily cookable, and those cook even in a kli sheni. And because of that, Klal Yisrael, we're making teas and coffees, is usually makbet to use a kli shlishi. That's why if you go to yeshiva, you'll see hundreds of coffee cups strewn around the coffee, the urn, because everybody fills up one and then pours it into a second one to make a kli shlishi. And in a kli shlishi, most paiskim, besides the chazanish, hold that it doesn't cook anything, no matter how easily cookable it is. So therefore, they permit themselves to put tea in there and coffee in there. Tea specifically, people like to make essence beforehand because of the Chazanish's opinion, and there it's known to be easily cooked, so you want to be machmer in that area. But many people are makel even with kli shlishi, even by tea. But if you can make the essence beforehand, it's definitely better. Ein noisnin kli, the next Mishnah. Okay, from here, here's where the sugyas of Bishul end. And starting here, we're going to have sugyas of, till the end of the perek, our sugyas in Hilchos Muksa. So, again, this is also learned by yeshivas, but this is a whole different miktoya. So anybody who is in Kail, they usually don't focus on a parak. They usually focus on... So they usually stop over here when learning, unless they're learning muksa, in which they start over here. So depending on which zman you're in Kail, this is either you stop here or you start here. Or if it's this man, you don't do any. Ein noisnin kli tachas... Hey, ner lekabel boyas hashemen. We do not place a vessel, a cup, underneath a lantern. Now, lekabel boyas hashemen. If the lantern started to drip, so back then they had oil lanterns. So instead of you want to catch the oil, and so you'll be able to use it. But the oil is dripping out. Are you allowed to place on Shabbos, are you allowed to place a keli, a cup, underneath the oil in order to catch it? So the Gemara, the Mishnah says no. Ve'im nasnuha mi'ba'id yoyim, but if you placed it there before Shabbos, then mutter, it is permitted to keep it there on Shabbos. However, ve'ein na'oysen mimenu l'fisha'enem in hamuchen. Now, however, you're not allowed to get hana'ah from that oil that you collected on Shabbos because it is enam min hamuchen, which is another way of saying mukta. Mukta means it's something that is set aside from your brain. You don't expect to use it over Shabbos. And enam min hamuchen is the same thing. It is not prepared. Enam min hamuchen is a nice way of saying mukta. So, this oil is not expected to be used on Shabbos. Why not? Because you expect it to burn out. We'll discuss this in a minute. But since this oil you basically set up to be burned on Shabbos, therefore the oil becomes muksa, and therefore you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. And the reason why you can't put a keli there, why can't you put a keli there on Shabbos? Well, there are two reasons. One of them is very nogeas, and one of them isn't. One of the reasons is, and we don't pass it like this, is going to be because you can't move another keli for mukta. Now, we don't pass it like this. But that's going to be the sugya and mem gimel amud aleph, which you'll see in a couple minutes. The second reason, and that it is nogeas, is there's a concept called bitul kli mehechane. If I put that keli there to catch the oil is mukta. That would make the cup that the oil is in also muksa. It becomes a basis for the muksa. So basically, I am now making a keli muksa on Shabbos. It is prohibited to make a keli muksa on Shabbos. Why? One of two reasons. Either because it's like boina, it's like I'm drilling that keli down to the floor. I'm forgetting the second reason. The second reason is slipping my mind. There's two reasons why. I forget the second reason. But al kapanim, it's aser. It's aser to do. Either because it's like boina. The reason that I remember is because it's when it becomes muksa, you can't move it anymore. So it's like you drilled it to the floor. And memela, it's memela, it becomes it's like darabanan obviously, but it's like the iser of the whole thing's darabanan. I mean, the muksa is darabanan. But it's like the Isser of Boina. So that is one reason. Now, why is that Nogea? It's very Nogea. For example, I think the second reason is because of Soyser. You're breaking. That's the second reason. You're breaking the Keli. It used to be a usable Keli, and now it's not a usable Keli anymore. It's very Nogea with regards to the halacha. Let's say a person has a drip on Shabbos. Is he allowed to go ahead and put a keli to catch the drip? It's mevatel kli mechaneh. Or opening up a garbage bag. You have a very nice bag over here. Now you want to throw some garbage in it. That's going to make the bag muksa because the garbage is muksa. So many people throw a fork in there before Shabbat. If you open up a garbage bag on Shabbat, you have to put like something in there, like a fork or something like that. So this way, the bag becomes a basis to the fork and it doesn't become ruined. And before you throw out the bag, you take out the fork. So after Shabbos, you take out the fork. Otherwise, it would be mevatala then. That's an eitzah that people have. Okay. That's the Mishnah.
How does the mevatala kli mechana work altogether? Isn't the bag itself non-mukta? Or in this case, the plate to catch the oil, isn't it non-mukta?
Yes, but if something is non-mukta, is holding something mukta, it becomes a base, or as we'll see the sugya is coming up, a basis, that's what it means, a base, for the muksa, and it becomes itself muksa.
Oh, so we don't view it as a mixture of heter?
Well, no. If it depends on what it's holding. If it itself is non-muksa, then we don't view it as a mix. But if it's holding two things, then we do view it as a mix. Which, of course, becomes a big shaila. Is there an ikur? Is there a tava? That's why people put their rings on top of the plate, on top of the candle tray. Have you seen that, Minik? It's because they don't want the tray to become, because it's now holding the candles, which are expensive, but her diamond ring. But if it itself is muksa, so then we don't view it as a... Unless it doesn't make sense. For example, you're going to have one penny to be mevatel a nice oak desk. No, we're not going to say that. Because then it's too chashev to be mevatel to a penny. But if it makes sense, a table to candlesticks, or a keli to oil, then it's batel.
But if it's touching something, that's muksa.
It has to be resting on it. Although it's a very big sugya, exactly what's considered resting. And what happens if it's hanging on it? That's another question. There's a lot of different, you know, practical questions that are nogeya, but it's got to be resting on a kipshute. But what's considered resting is a valid question. Amr of Chizda, Ava Bisha Amru Einoistin Klitachas Tarnagelis the Kapal Beyasa. Even though you are not allowed to place a vessel, a cup, underneath a chicken in order to catch its egg, for example, if you have a chicken that is laying an egg in an area that it will get ruined, it's not laying it in the normal place, and it's laying it, let's say, on a slant, on a hill, and you're scared that the egg is going to roll away and break. So therefore, you want to place a bucket underneath your chicken to catch the eggs. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. However, says the Gemara, Aval, you are, so it's the same halacha as our Mishnah. You're not allowed to take a keli and put it under something that's going to drop there, that would be muksa. And eggs that are laid on Shabbos are muksa. So therefore, you're not allowed to, same, that's the same thing as the Mishnah. You're allowed to take a keli, a vessel, and catch something that's going to be muksa. Aval, however, says the Gemara, Kaife Allah keli shalot shabar. Once it's laid, once the egg has been laid, so you're allowed to take a cup and put it on top and catch it that it doesn't roll away or get damaged. Amar Rabba, my time of the Rav Chista. What's the reason for Rav Chista? Kasavar Tarnagoilas Asuya Lahatal Be'yasa Be'ashba. Says Rabba holds that he holds of this halacha that we said before a little bit. We said a halacha that we said we don't pass in like that you're not allowed to move a keli for mukta. Now we said we don't pass in like that. That's going to be Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion. That if the item that you're moving for is totally non-muksa, but you want to move it for something that is muksa, it's the purpose is to save something muksa, you can't do it. So, it's this is very nogeya. I mean, where would it be nogeya? I mean, say, this comes up a lot. Because a lot of times you have to, when answering a shayla, you have to say, right, like Rabbi Yitzchak, it would be aser, but I just came up recently. It was with a drip. I'm trying to remember the exact case. But somebody had a drip in their house, a leak in their house. And I'm trying to remember the exact parameters, but I think they wanted to move a keli that was not muksa and already had other things in it. So like Rabbi Yitzchak, it doesn't matter that this is not muksa and it's not going to become muksa. It doesn't matter. You're moving it l'shem catching something that is muksa. And it would be aser. You cannot move something l'shem muksa. Even if this is not muksa and will not become muksa. I don't remember the exact case, but it was a geshmaka case. That like Rabbi Yitzchak would be aser, but like everybody else, it's mutter. That case I just gave you now is a good example. Just wasn't the case. There was a twist to it. But, okay, so Rabba holds like that b'miktas. He holds that, not like Rabbi Yitzchak, he holds that you're allowed to move it, to move a keli, but not if it is, you can't move it, if it's an unusual case. You can only move it for normal muksa. You can't move it for unusual muksa. That's what Rabba holds. So therefore, Rabba comes along and he explains, that's what Rav Chista means. Rav Chista means, you're allowed to put it underneath a keli. You're not allowed to put it underneath a chicken, because chickens generally don't lay their eggs on a slanted road. The only person who would try to lay their eggs on a slanted road would be a teenage boy, as he's like on one foot, hey mom, look at me. But Lamai said, those guys don't lay eggs. So therefore, you don't have to worry. But chickens, when they're laying their eggs, generally try to do it in more of a safe environment. And therefore, they don't do it at the edge of rooftops and things like that, playing, their games. So therefore, it's not a usual common thing to happen, and therefore it's also to do. However, it is normal for them to go ahead and lay it in what they perceive to be a normal place, let's say in an ashpa, in a garbage dump, where it looks safe to them, but little do they know that in 5 seconds you're going to have people throwing in, you know, other bags of garbage. And therefore, you want to go ahead and place a keli on top of that egg to prevent it from getting damaged from anybody else trampling in that garbage dump. And therefore, says Rabbah, that's the reading of Rav Chisda. Since chickens generally don't lay eggs in an unsafe place, you cannot go ahead and catch it. But once it's laid in what they perceive to be a safe place, but the only problem is that people might throw more garbage in there, that's a normal situation, therefore you're allowed to move a keli to cover it. That is what Rabbah says. My time is Kasara, Tana Gurlis, Asuila Atal Bayasa Ba'ash, but it is normal for them to lay eggs in a garbage dump. The Aina Asuila Hatal Bayasa Bimaka Midarn, but it is not normal for them to lay an egg in a slanted place. Therefore, the Hatsala Mitsuya Hetira, something that is Hatsala, saving something that is normal, a normal act of saving is permitted. The Hatsala She'ena Mitsuya, an act of saving that is not normal, Lo Hetira, is not permitted. The Gemara is going to challenge Rabbah with about five or six different brises, and then just move on to the second explanation for Rav Chisda. But right now we're in the first explanation for Rav Chisda. The reason is because we only do things that are Hatsala Mitsuyas. Question number one. Is it true that they don't allow to do a Hatsala that's not normal? If somebody has a bucket of Tevel on their rooftop, and Tevel, again, is produce that has Meiser, Truma and Meiser not been taken from it. Therefore, it is Muksa, because you have nothing to do with it on Shabbos. You can't eat it. You can't give it out. And you can't take off Truma and Meiser mid the Rabbanim on Shabbos. So you're really stuck. So there's nothing to do with it. And now this barrel breaks. Let's say it's a barrel of oil. The barrel breaks and it starts to leak. So you want to save the oil. Are you allowed to bring another barrel and catch this oil? Says the Gemara, Nishbur Lechavis Shel Tevel, if a barrel of Tevel wine or produce or whatever split on the roof, and Bereish Gagai, maybe Kalium and Yechtechtea. You're allowed to bring another Kali and catch the stuff that's spilling out. So why? According to you, how often the barrels break? So why is it permitted for you to go ahead? You agree to Rav Yitzhak that you're not allowed to move an object, you're not allowed to move a Kali, unless it's for a non-muksa, or it's and even when it's for muksa, it has to be a normal saving. So over here, is this considered a normal thing for barrels to split? And says the Gemara, yes. The gulpi chadati, we're talking about new barrels, the shrichi de paki, where it is normal for them to split. Yep. It is a normal thing. That's Rabba's teretz. I think Gemara's going to go through all of them with that same teretz. Eisve, another question. You're allowed to place a vessel, a cup, underneath a lantern that's sparking, and you want to catch the sparks before they go on your tablecloth and ruin it, or worse, set fire to the house. So, Baruch Hashem, with our nowadays candles and lanterns, we're unfamiliar with this, but back in the day, when using different materials and fuel, materials as wicks and fuel, you never knew what can happen. So you want to place a keli under this lantern to prevent the sparks from going around. Halacha is, you're allowed to do it. Why is it mutter? Is it normal? And the Gemara says, yeah. Nitzaitz not mishnah. It is normal to have sparks come from your lanterns. And like I said, Baruch Hashem, we do not familiar with such things anymore. Progress. Eisvei, kofin ka'ara al haner. One is permitted to place a overturned plate on top of a lantern, shelo ya'achais bekeira, which is, so it doesn't catch onto the ceiling beams. Apparently that wasn't the normal thing. Questions the Gemara, hakam etzmuta, you're moving a cup. I might have said here that it's like sekonas nefashis, it's different, but the Gemara says, bebati gechini, the shriach behu deleika. We're talking in a low house, so in that house, it's very normal for it to happen. Questions the Gemara. V'chein kairos jenishbara. If a beam of the house breaks, a beam in the ceiling, you're allowed to take another beam and hold it upright so that the sagging beam will rest on this beam. Soimchen said, "Besafstel uba aruchas amita." You're allowed to maintain the sagging beam that cracked with either a bench or a bed frame. Says so, how often the beams break? Answers the Gemara, "Bikshuri charati." Yeah, we're talking about new beams. The avida de paki, which is normal for them. Noisin kli tachas adelef. Our mishnah. Noisin kli tachas. I'm sorry. Noisin kli tachas adelef. You're allowed to put a keli tachas a leak b'shabbes. Leaks are normal. Answers the Gemara. Yes. But the new houses the shchichi the dalf. It's normal for it to leak. Period.
Why?
Because they when they're being built the very first week they didn't fix up all the cracks and seals and everything like that, and therefore the first time a person goes into his house. I've heard this from two people already, that they moved in, it was all nice, and they turned on, let's say, the master shower, and suddenly there's a leak in their brand new house, because the plumber forgot to tighten one screw. In new houses, until you use it for a week, 2 weeks, and you find all the nicks and nooks and crannies and holes, you know, you gotta seal things up and everything like that, so... It's always nice. You have the father in the kitchen saying Baruch Atah Shehecheyano V'Kiyamano V'Yeno, and suddenly in the hallway, the ceiling is caving in because somebody turned on the master shower. This happens because there's hundreds and hundreds of connections throughout, and all you need to do is not tighten one. But after you finish the house for 2-3 weeks, then hopefully everything will be better.
Yeah, like a beam.
Yeah, so they used a beam that wasn't strong enough to support it. Not every beam is, factory tested.
But also, old one might break.
No, so it might, but that's already not normal. That was the Gemara's question. The Gemara's understanding, like, okay, listen, we understand the case. The case is talking about a beam broke. Listen, things happen. So, but that's not normal. It's not an everyday thing. Like, a guy comes late to kill, what happened? Oh, my beam broke again. Like, it's not a normal thing. But it can happen. But if it happens more than once a month, we're going to be like, you either have to find a new kailah or a new house or a new job. But if you go ahead, but if it's a new house, then it makes sense. Okay, so now the Gemara's up to the second reason. The second reason for why it's prohibited to put something underneath a muktzah, but it's permitted to put something over a muktzah. This is the answer that we pass can like. Because you are being mevatel, because you are being ruining the keli from what it was. So, like I said, there are two explanations. One is soyser, and now I see Tosis on the top bring down both reasons. One is because of soyser, you are ruining the keli, and the second reason is because of you are drilling. It's as if you're screwing the keli down to the table because you're not allowed to move it anymore. So it's either baina or seiser. Either or, the point is that it is usr to place something muksa into a usable item. It is usr to place something muksa into a usable item. And place something muksa into a usable item. And because it is going to ruin the keli. So therefore, Rav Chista said it's usr to put a keli underneath a chicken, that's because the egg is going to cause the vessel to become muksa. But it's mutter to put it over the chicken because it's not becoming muksa. I can move the keli away anytime I want. If I feel the need to move the keli, I'm going to be allowed to move the keli.
So, is this seiser only on buildings?
No, you have seiser on keli. If there's bina on keli, then the seiser on keli. There's very, very many tanoim to be over on seiser though. So, but it's actually, if I remember, it's a sugya on kuf beis and a beis. We'll get to it in Ratzashem, but there is seiser. Yeah, you're still opinion became. Okay. Says Rabbi Yosef, Omar Hainu time of Khista Mishum to come vatal klimehane. Because you're mevatal klimehane. Esve Abaya. Chavis shall tevel shenishbra. The same case that we had before. If you have a bucket of tevel on your roof that's split and it's pouring wine or oil or whatever everywhere, and you want to save it. So you're allowed to maybe keli achi, you're allowed to bring another vessel, and you're allowed to catch it. So why? Why is that mutter? You are being mevatel the second keli from its original usage. Now you're not going to be able to move it anymore because it's muksa. Answers the Gemara. Amar le tevel muchan hu etzel Shabbos sheim avar v'tiknoi misukin. Tevel is muchan, is considered non-mukta. The opposite of mukta is muchan, like we said before. It is muchan etzel Shabbos sheim avar v'tiknoi misukin, because if you violate. Because if you went ahead and you fixed it up on Shabbos, misukan, you would be able to use it. Let's say somebody goes ahead and takes Truma and Meiser on Shabbos. Shaloi, he violated the law, because the Rabbanon asked you taking Tevel, taking Truma and Meiser from Tevel and Shabbos, because it looks like you're being misakin things. So this guy didn't listen. So if he didn't listen, it still works b'di'evit. That's a Gemara in Gittin. B'di'evit it works. And therefore it would be mutter to use it on Shabbos. So therefore, since there is a possibility for this becoming non-muksa on Shabbos, it's not called bitul kli mehechane. We don't see it as if it's drilled down to the table entirely. What's bitul kli mehechane? Because either you're ruining the keli entirely, or since you're never going to be able to move it, it's as if you drilled it down. Since there is a possibility for this to become non-muksa, by having somebody go ahead and being misakin it, even though that person would be violating an avera, and we don't expect anybody to do that, nevertheless, since there's that possibility, we don't see this keli as being drilled to the ground entirely, or as ruined entirely, since there's always the possibility that it will revert back to a non-muksa status. Okay, let's see. The question I was thinking of, and I'm pretty sure I remember Tayseh asking this question, is that, so then every keli is like that, because if you take it out, if you violate the halachas of muksa, if you take it out, it's no longer muksa. Yeah, right, Tayseh asks it. Halfway through the Tayseh of Tevel. Hachanami, kishaminiach kli tachas tarnagil is the kaibu bayasa, neima she'im over vahisir, mabeya mutter hakli vitato. You're right. But the keli as is with the item inside is never going to become mutter by the case of the egg. Masha'enkein, the keli with the item inside in this case could become mutter. That's how Taisus differentiates. Okay. Al kopanim, the Gemara set a rule that if you have an item, you're not allowed to put muksa in the item, thereby not allowing this new item to be moved again. A contemporary example is the case of garbage bags. And the Gemara says that this case of chavis is different because technically it's not viewed as being glued to the ground entirely. The Gemara tries again. You're allowed to place a vessel underneath a lantern, which is sparking, in order to catch the sparks. Why? What happened to bitul kli mehechane? Amar Rav Huna the Brei Rav Yeshua, nitzaitzos ain behen mamish. There's nothing real and tangible to these sparks. These sparks are just like shooting stars, flying, you know, embers, and it's not really tangible. They're bottled to the air. It's not a problem to move them. They're not muksa. It's just an ember. For example, are you allowed to, you know, if you look in the bottom of your cups, sometimes there's some dust there. How are you allowed to move it? Dust, such dust would be muksa. I mean, Teres, you're not moving it. It's bottled to it's bottled to whatever. It's not muksa. So it's over here. These sparks, they're mamish nothing. It's air. After it lands, there's nothing there. So it's not being mevatel the keli. V'chein Kaira says, is the Gemara Shenishbara, if you have a beam that broke, another question. How are you allowed to place a bed or a bench underneath the sagging beam? You're being mevatalit, mehechane, answers the Gemara, derupi. You didn't jam it in there and it's really holding it up. Well, you did, it's very loose right now, it's loose fitting, so it's not really holding it. So I answered your question before, Rav Yoni. This is the, This is the Gemara saying that it is touching it, but it's not really resting on it. You can easily pull it away. And therefore, it's not bittul kli mehechane. The Iboi Shakla, if you want, you could take it. Another question. You're allowed to place a keli underneath a leek on Shabbos. Why? How come that's mutter? Answers the Gemara, but Delef Aroi. It's talking about a leak of usable water. Therefore, the water that leaks down is not muksa. Next question. One is able to overturn a bucket or a basket in front of chickens who need to get into their chicken coop. So there's chickens milling around and they want to get into the chicken coop for food. So they're going to jump and onto a step and then jump into their coop. But you're allowed to place a bucket and have them jump into the step, jump onto the step, and then jump into the chicken coop. Why? Why is that mutter? Your mate chickens are muksa on Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, Kasavar mutlutatla. This mandamar holds that it's mutter to me metatla the basket. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Navatanya also mutatla. It's us to be metatla the basket. The Gemara says, ba'idun alav. No, it's us to be metatla the basket while the chickens are on it. But in this case, the whole understanding is that the chickens are going to jump right off. And therefore, you're not really drilling the bucket to the ground. Says the Gemara, "Atanya afal pisha eino adin alav is aser." We have a brisa which states that it is aser to move the chicken coop, even if the chickens are not on it, it's still aser to move the chicken coop to move this bucket. And says the Gemara, "Amar Rabbi Avahu ba'odin alav kol pina shmashes." This that it's aser to move the chicken coop, even after the chickens have gone off it, is only where the chickens were on it, Beina Shmashas. Because then we have a new rule. And this rule is very important for Muksa. Migu di is katsoi le Beina Shmashas is katsoi le kula yeme. There's a rule on Hilchas Muksa that tells us that if something is Muksa Beina Shmashas, it remains Muksa the entire Shabbos. Now, if something becomes Muksa, let's say, on Shabbos, it does not remain muksa the entire Shabbos. It only remains muksa for while it's muksa. This rule only applies on Bein HaShemashos by itself. If something is muksa Bein HaShemashos, it's muksa the entire Shabbos. So therefore, if the chickens were on the bucket sometime during Shabbos, so for that second, it's usher. As soon as they jump off, it becomes mutter again. However, if it was on it on Bein HaShemashos, it becomes also the entire Shabbos. So the Gemara says, this that you have a brisa which states that the chickens are also the entire Shabbos, that's because they were on it Bein HaShemashos. This that we're saying that it's not Bittul Kli Meichane is talking about where you put the bucket there sometime on Shabbos afternoon, it jumps on, you're right at that second, it's going to be muksa, but the understanding is it's going to jump off right away. And you're going to go ahead and have it jump off right away. It's not going to be muksa after that second.
Could you use this far also by the sparks that are going to go off right away?
Yes and no. It's a good question. But the Gemara's understanding that after the sparks land, they retain their a little, you know, ash or whatever was on fire. Because a spark is something on fire that's flying. So that ember that flew is always going to remain there. And to that, the Gemara answers that the ember, as it lands, is nothing. It's like dust. So Amar Yitzchak, Geshem she'ein nosdin kli tachas ha'tarnagol is the kabel b'yasa kach in koyfen ala kli b'shvil shalot shaber. Rav Yitzchak is the most chomer opinion, and he disagrees with Rav Chista. He says that no, you're never allowed to move muksa. To move an item for a muksa purpose. Therefore, he argues on Rav Chista. It is not the same way. It's not permitted to put something underneath the chicken, it's not permitted to move a keli in order to place it over the egg as well. Because you're moving it with intent to go ahead and catch and protect the muksa. You know, it would be no geya. I'm just thinking of the Rabbitzik, another example that came up. Is it permitted to go ahead and take a tablecloth. Let's say a person has his computer or other electronic devices in his dining room, but he likes to cover them for Shabbos. So can you take a tablecloth and cover it on Shabbos? You know, a nice tablecloth that says Shabbos Kodesh, which for certain devices should remain there the whole week. But Lamaisa, are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? According to Rabbi Yitzchak, you're not allowed to do that. Because the intent of you doing it is you're covering muksa. So it would not be mutter. Even though you're not moving muksa, it's not becoming a bus, it's nothing. According to Rabbi Yitzchak, would not be mutter. Lamaisa, we don't pass like Rabbi Yitzchak, so it's mutter, but... So too, you're not allowed to cover a kli over it so it doesn't break. Kasavar, he's of the opinion, he holds that you're not allowed to go ahead and move a keli except for a usable purpose on Shabbos. Except if it's for a usable purpose. They asked him all of these previous questions. What do you mean? We have 15 brises that we just mentioned that say that it's mutter to move a keli. And according to you, you can't answer like Rabbah answered that, oh, it was all in normal cases. Or like the second one, the Amar, any of these answers that were previously given are not going to help for you. You hold that it's not allowed, you're not allowed to move a keli for something that's muksa at all. So he answered in all these cases, Vishani, and all that brises, he says, you know what? It's talking about where you needed the first item, b'tzarech mekaymai. Where you needed to move the keli anyways because it was in your way. So you had it in your hand anyways. Now that I have it in my hand anyways, where should I put it down? So then you're allowed to put it down in to catch muksa. Toshima, the Gemara asks another brisa. Echaz be'a shenolda b'Shabbos, whether egg was laid on Shabbos, echaz be'a shenolda b'Yomtov, or whether it was laid on Yomtov, ein metaltalin, you're not allowed to move it, it's muksa, you can't move it, certainly not to eat, but not only lo l'chasis b'yasa kli, you can't move it to use it to stop up a bottle, v'lismech b'karamita, or to hold up a bed. Now, apparently, if you put pressure in the right places on your egg, then it will be able to maintain a lot of pressure, a lot of weight. I don't know because we have tried this many times and it has broken every time. I don't know why, even if it's true that if you get the exact place, it's going to be able to hold up an enormous amount of weight. But why would a person put his bed on this egg? I don't understand it. But apparently, either they knew how to do it very easily, or we're talking about this daredevil again, but who likes to, you know, put the weight of his bed on these things. So, listen, Karmita, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos if the egg was laid on Shabbos. Aval, it's meforish that koyf alal klibish feel shalait the Shabbos. You're allowed to cover it with a kli so it doesn't break. So we see that you're allowed to cover the kli. And so we see not like Rabbi Yitzchak. Answers the Gemara again. Achanam b'tzarech lemekaymai. It's talking about where you need it. Lemekaymai, you need it. For you're talking about where the cup that you needed, the cup that you're using to cover it was, you needed it anyways for, you needed to place the cup anyways, you needed the counter that the cup is on. So anyways, you needed the counter, so that's why it's matur. You were holding it in your hand anyways, so now you're allowed to put it on top of the keli.
He's answering in all these cases that the heter keli was picked up for some other reason, and then the case arose where you needed to cover or deal with some muksa.
Yeah. Well, you had it in your hand anyways. I don't know which happened first, but the point is that the reason why you picked up the cup was because it was for a heter reason. And now you're allowed to use the cup for things. Tashima, the Gemara tries again. Person machtzelis al gabe avanim b'Shabbos. One is allowed to spread a mat on top of stones on Shabbos if you want to protect them from the rain. Stones are muksa. The Gemara says, "Ba'avanim mikur zolois dechazion lebeis akise." We're talking about sharp stones, which are technically not muksa because they're usable for the beis akise, for the bathroom. Back in the days before toilet paper, or nowadays when we ran out of toilet paper. Toshma, this is why if you're used to Gemaras like this, you're always appalled at why are toilet paper being sold out? There's so many other options to use. It's not the first thing you'd have in your bunker. But, okay. Toshima, they had other things before toilet paper. Toshima, person, machtzolas, al-kabe, levenim, b'Shabbos. One is allowed to spread a mat on top of bricks on Shabbos. Again, with the assumption that a brick is muksa, And the Gemara answers to Ishtayu or Mibinyana. We're not talking about bricks that you're planning on building with. We're talking bricks that were finished, you were finished building with. You already finished your building. The Ishtayu or Mibinyana. You finished the building already. They were left over from the building. And therefore, the Chazin Lamizgalan Alayu, where these bricks are no longer set to be used, they're going to be used to lie upon, and therefore they're not muksa. They're currently doing what they're supposed to be doing. Therefore they're not muksa. The Gemara tries again, Tashima parsin machzelas al gabi kaveros dvarim b'Shabbos, when it's permitted to spread a mat on top of a beehive on Shabbos. B'chama b'pnei ha'chama u'b'gishama b'pnei ha'gishamim. In the summer, to protect it from the sun, and in the rain, to protect it from the rain. U'b'vachli is kaven latzud, so long as you don't have intent to capture the bees. But you're allowed to do it to protect the beehive. The assumption is the beehive is muksa. You're doing it to protect the bees, the beehive. Those are all muksa items. And yet, you're moving a mat to protect it. Not like Rabbi Yitzchak. Says the Gemara, answers Rabbi Yitzchak, Acha b'maya skinan, de'ika devash. It's talking about where there's honey inside. Therefore, the honey is not muksa. Amalei Rav Ukva mimeishin l'ravashi. Teinich b'maysachama. That makes sense in the summer, when it's normal to have honey in your beehives. De'ika devash. But b'maysachama during the winter, when there's usually not an excess of honey, the Gemara says, there's not honey for humans, you're right, but they still have a little bit of honey in there for themselves to maintain themselves. The bees keep some honey in there, and the beehive. So, there are at least two chalas per hive that the bees keep to, you know, chalas dvash are those honeycombs. There are at least two chalas dvash of honeycombs that the bees keep for themselves to maintain themselves during the winter. So that honey is non-muksa, and that's why it's mutta to spread the bach, to spread the mat. Says the Gemara, "V'ham muksas nino." What do you mean? But that honey is also muksa. You're keeping it there for the bees. The Gemara says, "D'chashav alayu." No, you're planning on taking it. What's going to be with the bees? I don't know, but you're planning on taking it, so it's not muksa. Says the Gemara, so you're telling me though, if you didn't go ahead and specifically think about it, I want those honeycombs, it would taka be usr. Haloi chashav alayu, my, what would the din be? It would be usr. If you didn't think about it and say you want specifically those honeycombs, it would be usr. Iyaki, if that was so, says the Gemara, hadatani b'vad shlo yuskaven lotzud. This that it says in the Seifa, as long as you don't have intention to trap them. Liflik v'nis nibidida. Why are you running out to other halachas and say, oh, you don't have intent, you can't have intent to capture? In this halacha itself, you should be able to differentiate and say, so long as you had in mind that you want to eat those two honeycombs that are left. The Gemara answers, "Hakamash milan, ava bishachishav alehen ubavachir leiskaven lotzud." Even if you did think about it, so long as you do not have intent to trap them, the Gemara says, "You're right." But it was talking, we could have gone that route, but instead we went this route. And no matter what happens, even if you're thinking about it, you have to make sure, says the Gemara, not to have intent to trap the animals, but to trap the bees. Because if you do, then forget muksa, you're going to violate the ikar halachas of trapping on Shabbos. Now the Gemara just wants to clarify this step. So one second, you're telling me that you have to have intent, you have to have specific intent not to trap. You have to make sure that you're doing it in a way that's not going to trap. And number two, it's talking about that you had specific intent. You have to have a specific intent that the chalas inside are not muksa. So you have to have two intents. Says the Gemara, those two intents are stiridic. Because whose opinion do you follow? Rabbi Shimon, the famous Rabbi Shimon, who we've met several times already, he's the one who is, he would be makel. So he would tell you that as long as you don't have kavana to be latsud, that would work according to Rabbi Shimon. But according to Rabbi Shimon is very makel and muksa also. He would hold that if you have something, let's say like this honeycomb, which is totally edible, it's just that generally farmers leave it for their bees, that's not muksa. Just because it's technically usable for the bee, Rabbi Shimon would say that's not muksa. Because it's a usable item. It's a usable item. He doesn't hold that if you think about it, you say, I'm probably going to leave it for the bees, that becomes muksa. Rabbi Shimon is makel in muksa with regards to this, and Rabbi Shimon would hold that's not considered muksa. So the Gemara says, whose opinion are we worried about over here? And whose opinion is this Braisa working with? You're telling me that you have to go ahead and have specific intent that you want those honeycombs. That would mean you're not going with Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon does not need specific intent for that. He holds it's not muksa. Since it's edible, it's not muksa anyways. Okay, so we're going with Rabbi Shimon. We're not going with Rabbi Shimon. But if you're not going with Rabbi Shimon, how does intent not to trap help? Intent not to trap only helps like Rabbi Shimon. So whose opinion are you going with? That's Gemara's next question. Says the Gemara, money. Whose opinion you're following? Rabbi Shimon, if you're following Rabbi Shimon's opinion, less lay muksa. Rabbi Shimon does not hold of muksa. He's not going to say that you need to go ahead and think specifically, I want these honeycombs not to be muksa. They're never muksa, since they're technically edible. And Rabbi Yehuda, so Elamai, you're going with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So, ki loy miskaven, if you don't have intent to trap, who cares? My havi, hadavar she'eino miskaven is usser. Even if you don't have intent to trap, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's usser. And says the Gemara Lo'olam Rabbi Yehuda, it does follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and that's why the items will be muksa, unless you think specifically about them, I want these not to be muksa. And what does it mean, as long as you don't have intent to trap, it doesn't mean you're doing the same action and thinking, I don't want to trap. Rather, it means you're doing it in a manner that will not trap. You're changing your action, you're leaving a whole side open so that the bees don't get trapped at all. It means shaloya asenu kimetsuda. Do not make these mats as you throw it over. Do not make these blankets as you throw them over the beehive in a manner that will trap the bees inside. Delishbik luhuravacha. You have to leave them space. Kihechi delo litzdu, so that they will not get trapped. Litzdu mimela. They will not get trapped by themselves. A second teretz, and this is going back on the entire teretz. Again, this whole question started because we have Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion. Let's rewind for a second. Rabbi Yitzchak said that it is usser to move an item, including a blanket, in order, even if you're not going to make it muksa, it's usser to move it if your intent is eventually to use it for a muksa item. Questions to Gemara, how is it mutter to move a blanket to cover a beehive? Answers to Gemara, there's honey in there. Questions to Gemara, honey in there, that only works for the summer, not the winter. So the Gemara's first answer was, no, even in the winter there's a little bit of honey. The Gemara is now answering, you know what? No, let's answer that question differently. It doesn't say summer or winter. It says rain or shine. You thought that meant summer or winter. You know what? The whole time we're talking about the summer, and there's tons of honey in there. We're talking about where there's tons of honey in there. And it's not muksa because of the honey. It said rain or shine. Why are you doing it? Because during the summer, sometimes it rains, sometimes it shines. Both of them are going during the summer. Rav Asher, when Mikatan, it be a moisa chama in the summer, it be a moisa gisham in the winter? No. It says bichama. In the sun, in the shine, because of the sun, and in the rain, so it's talking about the fall or the spring. In the fall or spring, the ikachama, where there is sun, and there is rain, and there is honey. Okay. Comments from Sheshes. Amalu Rav Sheshes, Puku, Amalu Rav Yitzchak, go out and tell Rav Yitzchak, Kvar Tirgum Rav Huna Lishmaitach B'Bavel, that Rav Huna in Bavel already said like you. Why? The Amr of Huna Oisin Mechitza Lemeis Bishvil Chai, Ve'ein Oisin Mechitza Lemeis Bishvil Meis. If there is a dead body on the ground, and you want to protect it from the sun, you are not allowed to create a mechitza. You're not allowed to create, let's say, you know, put a mattress here and a mattress there, and then a blanket on top of it in order to protect the dead body from the sun. You don't want to put a blanket directly over the dead body. You want to leave some airspace with it. So here's an eitzah. Put a couple of buckets over here, a couple of buckets over there, and spread a blanket on top. The answer is no, you're not allowed to do that. So, why? Because he holds that you're moving non-muksa items for a muksa purpose. So Rav Huna holds that's usser. However, what you are allowed to do is move it for a non-muksa purpose. So go ahead. And so, Mai, what's this case? If you have a dead body that's lying in the sun, two people should come and lie down next to the dead body. And then they're going to say, ouch, I don't like to lie on the ground, it's too hot, whatever. So this one will bring a mattress and sit on it. Now, of course, there's no reason for them to sit there, but they're sitting there because they eventually want to do this ploy. Like, I want to sit here. Okay, but it's too hard, and it's too hot. So I'm going to bring a mattress. Then they're going to say, you know what, it's very hot over here. Let's bring another, let's bring a, some sort of, a, you know, a canopy to protect us. So Mevi'in Machtzelis, they bring a mat to Parsonalin, and they hold it up. And then once they're holding up the canopy, they're like, you know what, okay, I'm leaving now. Okay, I'm setting up my bed to leave, and I'll overturn the mattress, and that will hold up this canopy. And then Vahalaklan will go. And then his friend will do the same thing. And it will come out that a mechitza came by itself. So we see that Rav Huna, who didn't allow you to do this stam, he only allowed you to do it in this ploy of doing it for live people, is because he holds the Rabbi Yitzchak. Okay. The Gemara now discusses, it's a new sugya. Itmar meis hamutal b'chama. If you have a dead body that's lying in the sun, and you want to move it to protect it from decaying, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel hayvcha mimita lamita. You put it on a bed and you roll it 1, 2, 3. You keep rolling it from bed to bed, and you can roll the body into the house because the dead body is muksa and you can't move a muksa item. Rabbi Chanina bar Shalmei mishmei the Rav Amar meniach aleh kikar alav kikar oitinek umetatla. No, a different eitza is, and this is a heter specifically for dead bodies, is you place an item, it could be anything, but you place an item on the dead body, say a kikar, a loaf of bread, or a tinuk, or a baby, and you move the dead body, and your excuse for moving the dead body is, I'm moving the baby. So this is only a heter by dead bodies. You can't move other mukhs like this. So the Gemara says, certainly that's the best Eitzah. Heicha de'ika kikar etina kuli amalei pligi d'shari. Everybody agree that that's the best Eitzah. Ki pligi d'leste. The machlekes exists where you don't have that Eitzah available. The question is it mutter to roll the body from bed to bed? You're not touching the actual body, but you're just rolling it from bed to bed. Ma'ar sover tiltum in atzad shmei tiltum. The first mandarmer holds that it is usser. It is called moving it, and therefore it's usser. And therefore, the only Eitzah he gives is moving it with a kikar tinik. But if you don't have that Eitzah, then nothing else is mutter. This Madar Mahod, it's not mutter. Says the Gemara Lemeke Tanoi. Let us say that this is a Machlekes Tanoyim. Because it says, Ein Metzilin es ameis mipnei hadleika. One is not allowed to save a dead body in the case of a fire. A fire is burning in a house. This guy has a really rotten day. First, a relative died. And then, so his dead body is there. And then, the house is burning down. Now the question is, could he move the house, can he move the dead body from the burning house? One is not allowed to move a dead body from a house to protect it from getting burned. I heard, you are allowed to. Says the Gemara, that's the mission. The question of the Gemara, what's going on? Do you have a kikar tinak here? So then my time at the Tanakhama. Then what would be the reason for the Madam who says you can't use it? Everybody agrees to that heter. Elmai, there's no kikar tinak here. Idaleka kikar tinak, igadaleka. So then my time at the Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. What's the reasoning for Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish? Elalav, says the Gemara, the machlekes must be whether or not you're allowed to move it by rolling it from bed to bed out of the house. Is that not what the machlekes is? Is that not the machlekes? And the Gemara says, "Light the kuli alma tiltel menatzad shmei tiltel." Everybody agrees that tiltel menatzad is called tiltel. So what's the machlekes? V'hainu taima de Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Here's the reasoning for Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. In this case, this is a special case where we waive the restrictions of muksa. And we say you're allowed to move it lahedya. Why? Because there are certain situations that if we don't allow you to move it lahedya, you're going to come and violate a bigger malacha. The whole reason we have muksa in place is to prevent, you know, problems. But if the if our prevention is causing more problems, then we're going to waive it. So in this case, it's going to cause more problems because our restricting you from allowing you to carry, from allowing you to move the muksa, will, because of a person's great pain, might come to put out the fire on Shabbos, which would be a deraisa. It's like this. Sorry that I'm busy with this and bringing up this mashal again and again, but literally busy with this at least 5 hours a day these days. The porch minyanim. So Lakewood came out with a Isser on Erev second days, which is why Chicago came out with an Isser, and which ousted Porchman Yanam. And then Lemaisa was a very big hack in Lakewood over second day Pesach. A lot of people were upset. Shmuel Kamenetsky got involved, and all the Lakewood Rosh Yeshiva had it. The Lakewood Poskim themselves had it. So it was not Pashat at all. And then they came out on Erev Shabbos with a Chazara. They said that it's Mutter. Why? Because we saw that our Isser made more problems than it solved. So they reversed their psak and they said it's Mutter. By the way, Netanyahu just came out with that it's Mutter to make outdoor minyanim as well. So hopefully we'll see a relaxing on these restrictions. I'm hoping to get a heter in Chicago today for all forms of porch minyanim, not outdoor minyanim. We're going to go steps. Porch minyanim mean, according to the psak, I have two people already that have this. There's five people on this porch and five people on this porch, and alpi halacha you're allowed to be mitzaref with a minyan. But so, and alpi all the guidelines. Everybody's in their own house. Nobody's moving houses. I'm davening on my porch. You're davening on your porch. We're more than 6 feet apart. And nevertheless, they're not allowed to join for a minyan. So it's very hard to understand. Teretz is that they made a rule across the board, no minyanim, because if we allow this, then. But nevertheless, so they lifted that restriction in Lakewood. I'm trying to get it lifted over here today. But okay, so why am I saying it? Because Lakewood's Chazara was it caused more problems than it caused more problems than it did. Okay, anyway, it caused more problems than it solved. Anyways, so that's what's happening over here. It caused more problems than it solved. Therefore, we would, in this case, we'll waive muksa. Amar Yehuda ben Shila, Amar Asi, Amar Yechanan, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish b'meis. The halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish with regards to meis, that this is mutter. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Let's just get to the Mishnah, and we'll start tomorrow fresh. Says the Gemara, you're not allowed to go ahead and get hana from the oil that dripped out, even if you put the keli there on Erev Shabbos, because it's muksa tanrabanan moisa Hashem shabenever shabekaras also Rabbi Shimon matter. Like we said before, Rabbi Shimon says this is usable oil. You're allowed to use it as long as the oil dripped out and is no longer going to be feeding into a fire, so taking it will not have a problem. Then it's usable oil and it is mutter, and that is that's the situation. That would be so. Therefore, this psak is strictly Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Okay, we will stop over here. We got two black done, Baruch Hashem, and.